Hey, it's June 8th, and this is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans both new and old. We recovered from game 4 yet?
No, I thought you meant have we recovered from the slump we were in last time recorded, and I was going to say yes. have I recovered from game 4? No. I hope not to recover from it until probably the end of the cup run.
Yeah, so dear listeners, if you were not following along on our Twitter, which I do try to get on our Beginner's Puck Twitter feed on game nights and try to live tweet, you know, just stuff. Eric and I actually were listening we're watching the game together via Skype with your husband, Stephen.
It was awesome.
It was very awesome, except it meant I wasn't tweeting a lot because mostly we were going, there was lots of inarticulate noises happening as we were watching that game. It was really funny. We should have recorded that because it would have been hilarious.
Yes. DVR the game, and then you can line up our ridiculous inarticulate noises and re-experience that with us. It was fun. We had to do a little work on our end because in Canada we do not have a 7-second delay for the FCC, because I guess in Canada if somebody swears on TV we're not that fussed. So we had to like pause the PVR and, you know, have Deb actually count aloud where they were on the clock until we got in sync and then hit play. And it was a process, you guys, but it was so worth it.
It took a while, but it was fun. Oh my gosh. But that game, I mean, first of all, let's talk about games 1 and 2, which thank God Nashville came back, because I am so sick and tired of the narrative of Pittsburgh was outplayed and yet they won.
Yeah.
Because we heard that through the whole Capitals series, and you know, we heard it a little bit during the Columbus series. So, and we were hearing it a lot during games 1 and 2 about how they were not the better team on the ice, but they were, you know, well, there was, you know, there was a couple good lucky bounces. There was an offsides that might have been, that was a little bit too close to call until review. But there's luck was definitely on Pittsburgh's side. But still, this, you know, I'm just tired of that storyline. I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, I'm just tired of hearing it.
Yeah. So in games 3 and 4, we had Pittsburgh not being the better team on the ice and losing.
losing decidedly.
Which, I mean, it does. It doesn't always happen that way, but it does feel better when the team that is playing better wins. And, you know, in sports, that's not always the way it happens, but it feels like all is right with the world when that's the way it goes.
It does. And, you know, as much as you'd like to pull the Corsi card and do all the stats card,
I don't know that everything. I would like to play that card.
Well, there's some hockey analytics, and we still have to do an analytics episode, but I think we need help for that one. I think we need an expert to bring a guest in. There's so much of sports that is still just unpredictable, and there is some amount of luck involved. You know, you get a puck that bounces a crazy way and goes off your own teammate's skate and goes right into the net. Yeah. You know, these things happen. And sometimes there's just absolutely nothing you can do about it except, you know, go into the locker room and kick a trash can or something. it was really good to see Nashville come back in games 3 and 4 and win so decidedly. But I want to talk about, I don't want to analyze those games because, you know, we're past that. By the time this comes out, there'll be game 5 tonight, and that's all everybody's going to be thinking about. We don't need to go back because, trust me, sports media has diced, chopped, and sliced and laid these games out in any way that you can possibly imagine. So we're not going to do that. But I do want to talk a little bit about the narratives that are now evolving for the Stanley Cup final. Because they're not necessarily the narratives that we were led to believe were going to be the story coming into that. So I just want to get your opinion, because coming in, what did you think was going to be the top stories, the top narratives that we were going to be talking about during the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, one that I actually think did sort of hold true is just the narrative of Nashville as a hockey town. And how they have sort of come into their own in terms of being a city in the South that enjoys hockey and actually supports their team. And I mean, I think the narrative was going into it was sort of like, how are they going to handle this? And I guess that was sort of the narrative going into the playoffs in general, because really they have been very, very strongly successful in celebrating their team all the way along. But it has only gotten bigger and better now that they are in the final, because good Lord, every time they had a crowd shot outside on the street, just sea of yellow, people, people, people everywhere. Apparently Knoxville, Tennessee had like, I think the fifth highest ratings or something like that in the U.S. for, mm-hmm. I can't remember which game it was, but still, Knoxville, not a huge place, you guys.
No.
Knoxville's not
big. I've
been
to Knoxville. It's mm-hmm. not that big. Yeah.
So good for them.
That's true, because going into that, it was, fair weather fans, bandwagon jumpers, mm-hmm. yada, 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 which I have issues with because, mm-hmm. Screw you. Yeah. Anybody wants to go watch a hockey game, why are you crapping all over that?
What's wrong with the bandwagon? It's a perfectly nice bandwagon.
It is a perfectly nice bandwagon. And so you have 100 people who have never cared about hockey before, being passionate about this, 10 of those people are going to stick. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get at least 10% mm-hmm. of those people are going to be like, hey, what's happening next year? Can I get some tickets? Yep. In fact, there was somebody threw a thing on StubHub, a screen cap from StubHub this afternoon on Twitter that said, well, if you want to go see a Stanley Cup playoff game, you really should go tonight in Pittsburgh, unless you're like made of money, because the StubHub tickets in Pittsburgh were starting at like $258. And the tickets in Nashville were starting at like $1,500.
Whoa! So,
yeah, they have embraced this hard. And it's like, it just every night, it's like, it just gets bigger. Like somebody keeps throwing gasoline on the fire and it just keeps getting bigger.
Or catfish.
Yes, it keeps getting bigger. And as a new hockey market, yeah, come on. It's, when you're walking into a non-traditional market, and you and I have talked about this, and it's been talked a little bit about what Vegas is going to have to do mm-hmm. to get their fans on board, is when you're walking into a non-traditional market, there's a level of education that goes along with your responsibility as a team and as your announcers. Like, there's a lot of work that has to go in to bringing your fan base on board. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to a broadcast earlier this week, and somebody was mocking this. And meanwhile, I thought it was a fantastic idea. They said during their first, I don't know if it was their first couple season or just their first season, when you walked into Bridgestone, you could get a set of headphones and you could listen to somebody calling the game and explaining things in the game as you were watching that. And they thought this was, this is proof that, Nashville's not a hockey town. I'm like, that is such a great idea. Mm-hmm. As somebody who is relatively new to hockey, I would have loved that, watching a live game. Because in a live game, you don't get any of the announcers. You don't get the calls. You don't get any of that. Mm-hmm. You just have to watch the game and kind of figure out what's going on. While you're at home, you have somebody talking the whole time.
Yep. I mean, think about it this way. Almost every person who is a hockey fan now had that experience in some manner. It probably wasn't mm-hmm. in an arena with headphones, but it was probably like at home with their parents or their big right. brother or sister, like explaining what's happening in the game. Mm-hmm. So everybody had to learn it somehow. Why is it worse to get it through headphones, after paying a bunch of money to go and see a game live, than it is to go through it at home when you happen to be smaller and younger? I don't get it.
Right. So, yeah, don't gatekeep hockey, people. It's not cool. And it's Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, because I really honestly and truly have no beef against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are a good hockey team. They mm-hmm. have played outstandingly this season. They've battled through adversity. And if they win, I'm not going to be heartbroken, because, their narrative of back-to-back cups and, mm-hmm. It's a good story. And Jake Guentzel, come on, who doesn't like that kid?
He is pretty adorable.
He is pretty adorable and has had an amazing cup run. But the fans, oh my God, the bile and the bitterness coming out on social media from Pittsburgh fans and Pittsburgh media. Pittsburgh fans, how do you deal with that? Oh my God, they're just not. Ugh. So if you're a Pittsburgh fan, I'm certainly not talking down to you, because your team is pretty darn awesome. But if you're one of the nasty gatekeeping ones, and blah, shame on you.
Then we don't need ya.
Don't need that here. And even Justin Bieber got called out a little bit for his, that was another story that came out this week. apparently he was being called out because he wears a lot of different jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, fake fan. And say what you want about Justin Bieber and his music. That boy loves his hockey, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, there's all sorts of stories about he travels with hockey equipment when he goes on tour, and he will just like pop into rinks and like want to play pickup games with local teams. You know, he played in the All-Star game, you know, the celebrity yep. All-Star game. So,
and was not bad.
No, you know, for somebody that didn't mm-hmm. obviously didn't go through a lot of hockey time because he started his career at a very young age, you know, he got out there, he can mix it up a little bit. And he's just like, you know, I like sports. I like high level sports, and I reserve the right to be passionate about whatever team that I want to be passionate about, even if it's, you know, any of them. It doesn't matter. So, yeah.
Yeah. So good for him.
Good for him.
And I mean, and he did say, you know, Maple Leafs above all others, which, you know, that's fine. You're going to have your home team, of course.
That's right. Well, he's from that area, you know, yep. it's sort of like, it's mm-hmm. almost obligatory, I think.
Yep.
But speaking of Jake Guentzel, that was another really great story that's coming out of this that nobody anticipated. I mean, who would have thought the rookie would be putting up such numbers and really mm-hmm. kind of, you know, outscoring a lot of far more experienced teammates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just he has been a joy to watch. And again, in rookie season, you know, those stories are just so great to see. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yep. It's so interesting to see the playoffs every year because it seems like there's always at least one person whose name you really haven't heard before that just steps up and just has a real hot streak during the playoffs. And it's extra cool, I think, like with Guentzel because he's a rookie. So that makes it even more fun. But sometimes it's just some schmo that's, you know, been plugging along on the team and is suddenly on fire. And it's just, it's fun because it's a different, it's just a different feel, it's a different vibe for the players as well as the fans, of course, and yeah, some players really, really thrive on that. So my thing is, like, I am really interested to see next season to see if we actually hear much from Jake Guentzel during the season or if he's one of those that just sort of goes back into obscurity and then maybe pops up again in the next playoffs.
He's had a really good year. I wouldn't even put him in that obscure player because mm-hmm. in November, his first two shots, he got his first two goals in the NHL were in his first two shots in his first game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he came out of the gate hot and he's been playing on a line with Crosby and Connor Sheary.
That
you know
doesn't
what I mean?
Hurt.
Like he's been hot. So let's talk about schmoes you never heard of before. And Freddie Gaudreau is that person you just described.
He's the schmo.
He is the schmo, and just, oh, I love this story. So Freddie Gaudreau is playing for Nashville Predators. He has played a total of 9 professional NHL games. He played junior hockey, went undrafted, and worked his way into a tryout, and played on the ECHL level, which is a level below AHL, worked his way up to the AHL to a 2-way contract, got called up as a Black Ace, which we talked about on an earlier podcast, and mm-hmm. has had the last two game-winning goals
yep.
for the Nashville Predators. And it's like, where did this kid come from? He doesn't, and the big story is, he doesn't even have a stall. Like, he just came from nowhere. Now, he does have a stall on game days. It's just mm-hmm. during practice. He's sitting on a little folding chair, and he's like, I don't care. Like, I'll sit on the floor if I have to. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, it's just, that's the kind of story that you just love to hear because it's the Cinderella story. If you were writing this for a Hallmark movie channel and saying, you're getting your shot, kid, you know, this is your chance. And he's just running with it. And his attitude's so great about it. And it's, oh, I just, every time something good happens and his name comes up, I just give a little cheer because that's the story you want to hear.
Yeah. And wasn't there some NHL record that he's the first player in NHL history to have like all four, I think his four first goals happen in the playoffs, like the four first NHL goals. Like, wow, that's something.
But so we got, all right, let's talk a little bit about NHL statistics.
Yes, let's.
They are ridiculous. And, you know, okay, there's statistics that they keep, you know, for the awards, the NHL awards at the end of the year. And then they're just these ridiculous statistics. And like, well, he's the first person born in Ohio on a Tuesday who's made 3 wraparound goals in 4 consecutive, you know, you can make anything a statistic. Mm-hmm. And there is somebody sitting in some broadcast booth someplace in the NHL coming up with these ridiculous things. And you're like, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, you've described a statistic for one person.
Yep.
Sometimes they get a little bit too detailed and on the nose.
Oh, I agree. Sometimes they are absolutely ridiculous, but it's fun. Like, I feel like there's probably some of the statisticians that are like, you know, I feel like it's got to be like a drinking game or something where they sit around and they're like, okay, this random guy, what NHL record can you come up with for this guy's career? And then like just troll each other with those kinds of challenges. Because I would totally do that if that was my bag.
That's true. We are the first hockey podcast with 2 female hosts that have a section called What the Puck that explains things about hockey.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's
our stat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Every now and then, one of them will roll across the bottom of the screen. I'm just like, oh, really? Come on. That's like, you know, does he eat mac and cheese? He's the first player to eat mac and cheese for dinner that scores a goal in the 3rd game of the Stanley Cup played in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a little bit too specific. Oh, but I am really looking forward to tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Or, well, tonight as this comes out.
Yes.
Because we're recording this on Wednesday because, oh, what was the statistic I saw today that, crazy stat, it was in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where 2 games go to game 5, split 2-2, the winner of game 5 won 70% of the time, they will win the series.
That's
there
great.
You go.
I love it.
That's a stat for you. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know what stats are. They're just made to be twisted and broken. So.
Yep. Yeah, because even if it's 70%, so like you could be in that other 30%. Like,
mm-hmm. That's right. There's all sorts of probabilities. So yeah, that game is tonight as you are listening to this, if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out. And I think it's going to be indicative because you cannot argue the effect that the Nashville crowd has on the players. Now, I don't think necessarily they're having that effect on the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think they're having a negative effect on the Pittsburgh Penguins because they are professionals and they've been in situations mm-hmm. with loud crowds before. I think it does have an effect on the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I agree.
Just, and they talk about this. You know, they cheer for us when we're not doing well. Mm-hmm. And that makes a difference. And you think about the difference between the Pittsburgh crowd when they lost to one of the games where they lost to Ottawa. The stands were emptying out before the game was even over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they just weren't even staying there to watch it. And well, meanwhile, Nashville fans are just screaming and yelling and lifting their team up. You know, if they have to physically get down there and do that, they would do that. So, to have game 6, if Nashville wins tonight, I think they've won it because they're going to play game 6
at home,
and they're going to want that cup for their crowd.
That would be so amazing. Like, that is my fervent hope. I would like to see that happen. But yeah, I'm quite nervous about tonight's game because I'm glad that they won both of the games at home and that they won them both so handily, because I'm hoping that will give them enough of a boost to be able to go back to Pittsburgh and sort of keep that streak alive and just, you know, not let them get bogged down too much by the fact that they don't have this crowd lifting them up there. So
I think a big part of their losses was Pekka Rinne's goaltending, which was, you know, he mm-hmm. was running so hot and then he just fell flat, and there's some history with him at playing against Pittsburgh and, you know, his mm-hmm. record against Pittsburgh. But I think these past 2 games, I mean, he was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
For game 4, I mean, there were some saves that, you know, I still have to fan myself, you know, watching the replays, that are just crazy. I mean, I think that confidence of those 2 games walking in mm-hmm. is going to carry over, and that could be the thing that makes the difference.
It really could,
because he has saved that team on more than one occasion. But, you know, the Predators are playing so fast. They don't look as beat down as the Penguins do right now. They don't look as tired. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether it's, you know, their series were a little bit easier and that they won them a little quicker or what, but they just, they just don't have that sense of fatigue about them, and they're playing a fast game. They actually pulled a couple of their older players who play a little bit more. Vern Fiddler was one of them. Played a little bit slower, slower game, just so they can put faster skaters out there to just keep forechecking and just keep going for Pittsburgh and shutting down all their opportunities. So, I have a really good feeling. I do. I'm knocking on wood. I don't want to jinx it.
Me too.
I say that. All right. Well, there's some other stuff going on around the league in preparation for the draft, the regular draft and expansion draft. There's lots of grumblings and mumblings behind the scenes. And and we're actually, I think our next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you might need to know going into the draft. Next episode, the one after that, we'll probably do a Stanley Cup wrap up first.
Oh, yeah.
But last week was the NHL Combine, which is, it's really hard to, I could not find anybody explaining to me what the Combine was. I couldn't find anything online. People were talking about the Combine and the tests and everything, but the origins of it was something I was not able to kind of dig around and find. So, but what the Combine is when the NHL invites the top draft prospects of that year. And the number fluctuates a little bit. This year was 104, the top draft prospects. And they are, you have to be invited. You just can't show up. And they put them through all sorts of tests. Have you looked at some of these tests or any of the videos that have come out and been posted for?
I have not this year, but I have seen that in the past. And like, I don't want to watch somebody pushed to their limits. That does not interest me at all. So yeah. I have not.
So basically what they do is they bring all these kids in, and they are kids. They are babies. They're like 17, 18-year-old kids. They bring all these kids in, and they put them through a series of tests, okay? And some of them are physical. So some of the things that they do are there's a lots of trying to think, sort of aerobic test. So they'll do things like there's a bike test that's particularly grueling. They do agility tests. They do strength training tests. They do movement tests and grip strengths. They weigh you. They do a wingspan measurement. They do a long jump. They do a thing where you have to stand stationary and jump straight up in the air. See how high can you jump? I'll jump as high as you tell me to. They do a bench press, all sorts of physical things. And there's some of these tests. I think it's the Wingate test that everybody hates so much, which is basically you have to get on a bike with sort of high resistance and like go as fast as you can for 30 seconds. And like they have trash cans set up so that people throw up when it's all done. It seems really unpleasant.
Yeah.
But then they also have an interview component. So all the teams will come in who, because you have so many draft picks, and we've talked about that a little bit, about how the draft picks work, and you get awarded some in the lottery and some you've traded for or whatever. So the coaches and the coaching staff and the scouts will come in, and they'll interview players they might be interested in. And you can interview all 104 if you like, but usually they narrow it down to 20, 30 or more. So you get sort of their physical test, but you also get a chance to, kind of get a sense of who these kids are. Now, obviously, your scouts have gone and watched them skate and watched them play, but this is a chance to do a little bit of one-on-one. So it's, what were we calling it before? Sort of like a livestock auction.
Yeah.
Closest thing you can compare it to.
Like checking their hooves, checking their teeth. Like,
yeah,
how, like, the wingspan, of their arms test is like, how wide are your haunches, for that's a little livestock. It's just, it's so weird.
It is really weird. And it looks a little demeaning, actually. But I guess it's a really good way to get a close up. And when you're skating and you have a gameplay, that tells you one part of the story. But there's people that say some of these things in the combine aren't necessarily indicative of where you're going to be either professionally. But and in even the interviews, they were saying, I was listening to a discussion about this, and they were saying some teams will go in and throw really trick questions out because they want to see how kids will react to that. And other teams are like, yeah, we're not playing those games. You know, we're just going to go in and, you know, see how they react. You know, are they level-headed? And even if we had to remember they're kids, so even if they are a little goofy, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing either, you know, but it's nice to get a sense of their maturity level, I guess, going in. Mm-hmm. So that was a big deal. It was held in Buffalo this year. So there's also, I have some links that we'll put in the show notes, the results of some of those tests and who came out on top. And again, spots number one and two were still Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. So one of those people will be a Flyer next year.
That's so exciting. After you have, you know, had another week or so of learning about these boys, do you have a pick that you would rather see on the Flyers? Because I know last time you were just like, I'd be happy with either one. And I'm sure you'd still be happy with either one, but are
I'm
you leaning?
I'm still going to be happy with either one. And even looking at the test, I might be leaning a little bit more to Nico Hischier at this point.
I would be with you.
Patrick wasn't out, you know, he was good, don't get me wrong. And looking at some of the results, you know, he was good. Nico Hischier was a little bit better in some of the tests. And again, you know, the pull-up test, what does that tell you? It tells you a kid works out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he was also really good on the agility test, which, and and that goes part and parcel with his skating style from the limited bits that I saw him play during World Juniors. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this day and age, it is a fast skating game. You know, that's hockey today. So
yeah.
I might be leaning
toward him. The one bit that I did see was a bit of a just, you know, on screen for the television interview with it was like four of the prospects, including both Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. And one of the questions that was asked, which I quite liked, was, and it was just a bunch of silly questions, but one was, if, you know, in international hockey, if you could not play for your own team, for your own country's team, where would you like to play? And Nico Hischier said Canada and went on about like Canadian fans and how excited everybody is and how they treat you like a rock star. And I was just I admit my bias, but that completely won me over. Whereas Nolan Patrick said, he said Switzerland because Nico had been like showing him pictures and stuff of how cool Switzerland was, which is also a very nice answer. But
yeah, so they flipped each other's countries basically, which is kind of cute. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they just seem like nice hockey boys from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. They do. Both of them do.
We'll see what happens. And speaking of Flyers news, I have a little bit. I'm so excited. Mm. A new assistant coach was hired yesterday.
Woohoo.
And I don't know how to pronounce his name. We were both Googling to see if we can find some video of somebody pronouncing it. But it is the former Erie Otters head coach, Chris Knobloch. So I know I'm mangling that. I know by in a few weeks, I will know that name extremely well because it will be all over Philadelphia media. But the Erie Otters, wow, they have a pedigree there. Connor McDavid played for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Strome played this year. They were in the Memorial Cup final this year. So it's a good team. Mm-hmm. He's got a great reputation. He has coached some outstanding NHL prospects and NHL players. So considering that our team is getting younger and we've got some really great young talent coming in, I think this is a really good addition.
Yep. I think you could do much worse than a guy with that kind of career under his belt. So good luck to you.
And I think it'll be a nice contrast to Dave Haxtell, who came from, what was he? University of North Dakota, I believe.
That's ringing a bell.
Yeah, so he was a NCAA coach. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the bloom is off the rose here in Philadelphia with Dave Haxtell. Just because, I've talked about this with people, you know, he likes to punish players by giving them healthy scratches so they can watch the game and maybe learn a lesson. I don't know what that is. Like, what even? These are adults. They're not college kids. So they're both used to coaching young players, but in completely different environment, because you cannot say that NCAA hockey and junior hockey is sort of the same thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, they both play at a comparable level, But I think it is just a different environment. I think junior hockey might be more professional. Like, and not that NCAA hockey isn't a very high level of hockey, but when you're playing junior hockey, it is a job. You know what I mean? Like, this is what you're doing. You're not going to classes. You're not going to school. You're not doing all these other things. You are treated as like the mini NHL sort of thing.
Yep.
So I think the different perspectives of coaching young players is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, because they were used to that, you know, level of play or that age group specifically, but I'm sure they have wildly different coaching styles. It should be good.
I look forward to seeing how that plays out over the next season. God, I can't wait for the next season.
I know.
Already.
I know. And there's so, but you know, this is the month of administrivia. There's so many things coming up, and I actually have a list of important dates of things that are happening. I mean, honestly, this makes me so happy. I actually saw it on Hockey Tumblr, but somebody on Reddit composed it. And it's starting June 12th. I mean, there's a deadline almost every single day leading up to July 1st, which is when free agency begins. So yeah, this is the month where teams need to lock down who they're keeping. They need to figure out who's going to be exposed for the expansion draft, who they're going to draft. I mean, this is hardcore paperwork and spreadsheet work, and I just love it.
Happy June, Deb. Happy June.
Well, it is, because, well, last June was when I really did a deep dive into hockey. So when I became a hockey fan, it was like the NHL draft was the first thing I watched feeling very passionate about hockey. People didn't understand that. They think, well, I missed the Stanley Cup. I really wasn't thinking that hard about hockey during the Stanley Cup. It was only after the Stanley Cup was over and we were talking about the draft, I'm like, okay, I really want to watch this. I'm really intrigued by this. So my whole beginning of hockey fandom starts with the paperwork. So that's very excited.
That's actually a really cool place to start, because, you know, you started with the paperwork and with the draft, which is where, you know, those young players are starting. So you kind of had a little bit of the same hockey road as somebody who's just coming up.
I did. Me and Austin Matthews. Simpatico. Aww.
Totes.
Oops. Yeah, so I think just for funsies, I'm going to link that as well, because if you are like me and like to know when all these things are happening, there's a jersey reveal, which the date is incorrect on the Reddit, because I think they flipped that back a day.
It's now happening before the Vegas draft.
I think there's just too much happening during the draft and the awards this year. They just can't do it all. I think they want to spread it out a little bit.
So. Yep. Yeah,
everybody's getting new jerseys.
That's exciting.
Because they've changed sponsors.
Yes.
So that works. So Adidas is now going to be the sponsor of the NHL jersey. So I don't think some teams will probably have something very minor, maybe just adding the Adidas stripe to their jerseys.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's getting a big revamp or not. We'll see. I know they're not doing third jerseys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No. Why don't you tell, because that can be confusing. Why don't you explain to people what third jerseys are?
Ah, yes. So when playing hockey, you might notice that each team has kind of a white jersey that also has their colors, you know, either on the pants or on the stripes or something like that. But a jersey that's primarily white, and then one that's a solid color. So for example, for the Oilers, when they play at home, they wear their solid color jersey, which going forward is going to be their orange jersey. In the past, it had been blue in previous years. And then when they play away, they wear the white jersey. And that is how it goes. But some teams have a third jersey, which is just an extra design that they can choose to wear sometimes. So for a while, the Oilers' orange jersey was their third jersey. And they had their blue jersey as their main one. Orange was the third. And next year, orange is going to be their primary one. So that's kind of exciting. And then sometimes the third jersey looks absolutely nothing like their other jerseys. There used to be an Oilers third jersey that was like black with this weird logo that looked like a hockey. I think it was supposed to be like a hockey puck, but it looked more like a gear or a bottle cap or something. It was really ugly. So sometimes teams will just go way out into left field and do something very strange for their third jersey. And I guess that's not going to be the case this next season.
No, they decided not to do this. And and let's be honest, it was a cash grab. It was a chance. Some were jerseys, you know, so you have to have your away jersey and your home jersey and now a third jersey. Mm-hmm. Like I know this year we didn't have an official third jersey with the Flyers, but they did have their Stadium Series jersey because they played Pittsburgh in an outdoor game. So I guess that would technically be their third jersey, which was entirely black with white letters sort of outlined in orange. And it was incredibly difficult to see names on the back because of the design. So, yeah, it wasn't a big favorite. But yeah, so they're doing away with the third jerseys, and they're doing this big reveal. So I'm really curious to see if anybody other than the Oilers are really mixing it up, because the Oilers announced that during their playoff run that they were going from the blue to the orange, which was the whole Orange Crush thing that started. And someone who feels somewhat proprietary about orange, we'll see how that works out for us. I don't know. So, but yeah, that's about it. But we, I do have some interesting talking about statistics. We've been talking a lot about statistics. There's another fun statistic that's out there that I think we should talk about.
Ah, very cool. Well, hey, let's learn something new about hockey. Why don't we chat about 3 stars?
It's time for What the Puck, the things that everyone knows, but we all had to learn sometime.
So, Deb, what the puck are these 3 stars?
Oh, 3 stars. All right. This is going to be another What the Puck crossed over with hashtag old hockey. Because 3 stars have been around for a really long time. So at the end of every game, if you stick around, especially if your team has won and you're watching sort of all the little post-game interviews, you know, Pierre Maguire's down there on the ice grabbing somebody, interviewing them if you're watching in the States. Typically, they will announce 3 stars. They'll announce the 3rd star of the game, the 2nd star of the game, and the 1st star of the game. And it's kind of an interesting phenomena that goes all the way back to the 1936-1937 NHL season.
Wow. Hashtag old.
Really old hockey. So basically what the 3 stars are, they're your three best players, right? So what they did when they started this, Hockey Night in Canada was sort of the people that were broadcasting the games and I guess airing the games on the radio. I don't know how you people did it up there in the Northland back in the day. But their sponsor, their new sponsor during the 1936-37 season was Imperial Oil. And so they had a brand of gasoline called 3-Star Gasoline, the 3-Star brand. So this was, they did this as a way to promote their gasoline by creating this, let's do 3 stars of the game. And it's really funny to think it's sort of like Burma Shave in a way that's become this beloved hockey tradition.
Totally.
So what they do is it's a third party that does this. And it's from what I understand, it is the 3 top scorers or goaltenders or so whatever this media people have decided are the 3 best players of the game will be announced at the end. So the 1st player gets the 1st star, but they do it backwards. So the third star will be, you know, who they think is the 3rd best player of the game, and then 2nd best and the 1st best. And it's usually, you know, the goaltenders typically get out there. They usually get 1 or 2 stars because, let's face it, goaltending is huge during these games. And then they'll announce them and the player will come out and skate, but usually only if it's a member of the team playing at home. A lot of times the player for the opposing and losing team will not come out. They will just be in the locker room. So yeah, it's something that's done every game, but it's kind of extrapolated a little bit too. So the NHL used to have like offensive player of the week and defensive player of the week. And now they do a 3 stars of the week. So every week during regular season, the NHL will put something out and say, here's our 3 stars of the week. And here's 3 players that we just think were outstanding for whatever reason. And they'll announce them. And it's always very exciting because that means out of every single team that played, like you got noticed, you did something really well. And they also have a system where they award points to the three stars. And in Canada, there's actually an extra little award you get for having the highest number of points awarded by the NHL. And you can get the Molson Cup, which is given to the top point earner of the year in each Canadian team. And usually there's like money that goes along with it. They donate to charity or something. So it's become kind of a big deal, actually. It doesn't mean anything as far as your stats. Mm-mm. It doesn't mean anything as far as a paycheck. It's just sort of a little, it's a media high five. It says you did a good job, hockey boy.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even always the media. It's different pretty much every time. You know, it often is the media, like, you know, some guy from the local paper or mm-hmm. somebody from, you know, the local television station or national. Occasionally, it will be like on Hockey Night in Canada, sometimes during the intermissions, they'll interview kids from like kid hockey teams. So mm-hmm. they'll have like, you know, a girl from the, you know, girls 15 to 18 hockey team and a boy from, you know, similar team. And then like those are the kids will actually pick it. So it could be, it mm-hmm. could be, you know, from anything. And sometimes right. depending on which broadcast you're watching, you'll see three completely different stars. If you're just watching an away broadcast and you're not watching the local broadcast, if they didn't coordinate well enough, which happens sometimes you'll just see, well, we just picked three stars. So here they are. But if you're but in it's the rink,
like a, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a third party that does it. It's not the team that does it.
Right.
It's like another
mm-hmm. But if you're in the rink, it will be announced over the loudspeaker. And it's fun. Like, I always stay and watch and see who the three stars are because, you know, usually they'll come skating out if they're from the home team. And they'll have, like, a hat or two or some T-shirts or something like that. And they'll skate over to, you know, one side of the ice or the other and toss it over the glass. And, you know, people in the audience get to have some random stuff tossed to them. Yeah. Now, if it's somebody from the opposing team, yeah, like Deb said, they're probably not going to come out. Although I really appreciate it when they do. I think that mm-hmm. that's just kind of a cool thing. But they usually don't have any stuff to give away because people usually don't want the opposing team stuff anyway.
Yeah, I've never been at a game where they've given away stuff for the Stars.
Oh, that really?
Never. Hmm. So it's interesting.
Maybe that's a Canada thing.
It might be a Canadian thing. You guys are so nice. Here, have some stuff
yep.
because we're cool. It's interesting that the Stars are not awarded during international play. It's only done in the NHL in North America.
Huh.
So, like, the Olympics don't do it. The World Championships do it. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'll do a... We talked about this with Mark Streit turning down the award is best player. So they may do mm-hmm. a best player thing, which they okay. did during Worlds. And he turned that down and gave it to the goaltender because he just felt the goaltender deserved that honor. So a lot of times they'll do something, but it's not a three-star thing. So, which mm-hmm. makes sense because it's really just an advertising thing.
Yeah.
It went on far. And it ended, the sponsorship ended in 1976, but they just kind of, at that point, it was so entrenched. They yep. just kept it going. And to the point where a lot of radio shows, a lot of radio broadcasts, and again, like, I'm addicted to Sirius NHL. There's a couple different shows that'll be, well, who are your, what are your three stars for this week? And mm-hmm. I was listening to Stella Kinstimmer, I think, this morning, and they gave, like, Carrie Underwood got a star. people in Hockeylandia. So I think they gave Craig Cunningham a star because, you know, we talked about him. He was the mm-hmm. Arizona Coyote player that's now a scout after his bout with a severe illness. So mm-hmm. it was interesting that how it has permeated hockey culture in a way that off ice as well. So the next time you hear the three stars, that's the backstory for that. And that's basically what it means. It's a meaningless, fun little thing that came out of a gasoline company. It was looking to sell more gas.
That's awesome. I love it.
I know. So how about you? Do you have a hockey tidbit? Do you have something cool that we can close this episode out with?
I do. I have a quick little hockey tidbit about post-goal celebrations. And I'm not talking about, like, the quote-unquote sellies, which some players do. We can talk about those some other time. I am talking about the hockey post-goal high fives at the bench, which is something that you might notice after somebody scores a goal every time. And it's not just the person who scores the goal. It's the guys who are in on the play will go and skate over to the bench and basically skate down the bench, giving a like a fist bump or a high five in their gloves to everybody on the bench. And it's just, hockey is such a tactile sport. They, you know, after they have scored a goal, there's hugging and there's high-fiving and there's headbutting, which, you know, Deb talked about the goalie headbutts on a previous episode, episode 6. So we have all of these ways of showing joy and affection that are very outward and tactile, and I just love it. So it pleases me to see those guys skating down and giving high fives to all their buds after scoring a goal.
I love that. I do love that it's such a tactile physical sport. I have a theory about that, though, because you don't see that in other sports. I mean, you get kind of the bro hug thing going on, but it's not, let me take a flying leap and jump into your arms.
Yeah, right.
It will happen in hockey, very Titanic-esque sort of swelling music. I think it's because they're wearing so much padding.
Mm.
It doesn't feel mm-hmm. They don't have to back off and yell no homo or something offensive like that. You know what I mean? Because there's so much stuff in between, then they feel safe expressing that side, that warmer, softer side of themselves where they can be very affectionate because they're not physically touching each other.
Oh my, that actually makes good sense.
Does it make sense? Because guys get really funny about that.
Some
sort of
do.
Thing. We've lost that time, and it wasn't always like that. Like, if you look back at, we're going to a sociological lesson here, but if you look back at old pictures, like during World War II and things, men were very physically affectionate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that now because our culture has become so toxic that you can't touch another dude without, having eyebrows raised by your buds or something stupid like that. But in hockey, there's so much in between you and him. Have at it, guys.
That's fantastic.
Jump in each other's arms. You're not touching any flesh to flesh. It's all cool.
Wow.
So, I know. We go in weird places.
We sure do. But that's okay. They're fun. And I like sort of thinking about why things are the way they are, which is really the whole point of this podcast.
Absolutely.
So we hope you enjoy that about this podcast because you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castrier production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at beginnerspuck, email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com, or leave a comment at theincomparable.com/puck.